We're on the phone with Dr. Tim Hall. Tim, good morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning, Mark. Doing well on a Friday. Thank you.
Can't complain. First, before we get into anything else, is your Christmas shopping done?
The better question would be, has my Christmas shopping started?
Good man. All right. Okay. Yeah. I want to make sure I wasn't the only one in that boat.
No,
so. It's
not even close to the 24th yet, Mark. There's no rush.
I know. Yeah, you got plenty of time. It's just December 4th.
Exactly.
You got 20 days.
I don't know what the big hurry is.
Oh, of course not. Well, last night you had a big meeting last night with the school board, kind of discussing. Prior to the governor kind of shutting things down, you guys at Sioux School shut things down. And then the governor came on back, and then so you had an extra week, I guess it was. And now I guess the thought is what happens next. So how did the meeting go and what was decided?
I thought the meeting, like the previous one, was very productive. The board got a chance to listen to lots of comments, parents, other community members, some students came on last night. And shared their comments, had some questions that we tried to answer as best we could, and then sort of stated their particular preference as to what they thought maybe we should do in terms of how soon to bring the kids back. Should we bring back different grade levels of kids at different times? What about sports and extracurriculars? So, again, just a really good chance for the board to hear comments from the public. And ultimately, and I'll just get right to it, the decision, the motion that the board made had three components. The first is that we're going to remain in virtual education until January 4th.
Okay.
The second component of that is that sports will be allowed to continue under MHSAA guidelines. And then, of course, both of those aspects are contingent upon any other emergency orders that would come down from the Department of Health and Human Services. And so, you know, certainly if there's a new slowdown or closure, whatever they call it, mm-hmm. we'd have to follow those guidelines too. And then the third component of the motion was that the board would meet again between the holidays prior to the kids coming back to, again, review the data and have a meeting much like we did last night, which would be review several factors and, you know, have updated input from the health department, from the hospital, and some other things that we've looked at here. And again, take another good hard look at it and see if January 4th is the right time to bring the kids back. As of last night, I think the motion passed. So the board felt, yep, that's an appropriate time and we'll, but they very prudently, I thought, agreed to meet again between the holidays to have another discussion just to make sure that we are, when we do come back, that both kids and staff, we can do it as safely as possible.
Well, and I think that's probably the smart thing because this whole COVID thing has become such a fluid thing that, I mean, you could say, well, yeah, January 4th is fine, but a lot of real estate between now and then, a lot of things could change between now and then.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a double-edged sword, like most of this is. I think, you know, there was a lot of discussion at our previous meeting about running this out till the end of the first semester. And looking at the days and the holidays and knowing how long it takes, the time it takes from exposure to symptoms, it did make some sense, honestly, to go out till the end of the semester. But that's an awful long time to have the kids out of school. And I think the board felt previously and then reiterated that last night that they'd rather take that in smaller increments and then make a decision, you know, have some updated data a few days prior to the kids returning and make a decision. The reverse side of that is that it's kind of a yo-yo for parents in a way because they now know, well, I'm going to have my kids at home until January 4th and I won't know until the last week of December what's going to happen from the 4th on, you know, again, barring any follow-up guidelines from the Department of Health and Human Services. So I certainly can understand and appreciate the fact that some in the community are saying, wait a minute, we've got to have a more long-term solution. But again, I think general consensus amongst the board, obviously since they passed the motion, was that let's take things in some smaller increments and then review the data as we go. And if it looks like we can come back, then by all means, we all want to come back. Everybody agrees we want to come back. but we can't do it unless it's safe and we feel more comfortable than we do now, certainly with the increasing rates, the high positivity rates, hospital being at capacity, which last night was a major discussion point. If we get to the point that even though we might not have a lot of cases in the school, but the community is dealing with it to such a degree that our hospital can't take any more patients because of COVID, and I know David John has said this on interviews with you too, that they can probably handle a lot of the COVID stuff, but what about the person that has a heart attack or a stroke or something else that they need immediate care? And if all their staff and resources and space are taken up by COVID, they can't provide those services. So hospital capacity is one of the big things that we talked about and we'll continue to review when we have these meetings.
We're talking to Dr. Tim Hall, superintendent of Sioux Area Schools, about the last night's meeting. Tim, you said a lot of parents and students came on last night. What was some of the points that they brought up, positive and negative, that maybe you guys had to address last night that maybe you hadn't thought of?
Well, I don't think that there was anything that we hadn't thought of, to be honest with you. We kind of knew a lot of this stuff was going on out there. We know that we've got still some areas. We're doing, and as we set out as a district, staff and administration to do a better job of virtual learning than we did last spring, and we are by far. And I've stated this before when we've talked, I'm mm-hmm. so proud of our teachers and our students and families for the work they've done, because going from face-to-face instruction on March 13th last year to remote since then, except for a brief period of time in the fall here, was a major accomplishment and a huge transition. But as we go through this, we know there are still areas that we can improve on. And we heard from some students last night with some concerns about, abilities and options to communicate with teachers and some of those things. And we know that, teachers are inundated with emails and sometimes they can't get back to kids. But I think any organization will tell you that there's always room, and this is my philosophy as well, starting with me and throughout the entire district, there is always room for improvement in communication. And so one thing we heard last night was we can probably do a better in some areas of communicating with our students. And we will, actually, we have a meeting at 10 o'clock this morning to begin reviewing some of those things. We also heard and we know that there are some struggles out there, some mental health issues. Kids are feeling a little bit isolated. And, seeing your friends on computer is better than not seeing them at all, but certainly isn't what they're used to when they come to school every day. So we know there's some isolation issues out there and some of those things happening. Our high school did a really nice survey to high school kids, an informational thing, and saying, we need to hear from you. If you're having any issues, we've got people ready to take care of you. And so they reached out and communicated with the high school students on that. I know our middle school posted on their Facebook page a supportive communication and actually had photos of the counselors and the intervention specialists and Native American advisors over at the middle school. Encouraging families and students to reach out. Our intervention specialists and Native American advisor at Malcolm, the two intervention specialists, and the one counselor that we have at Lincoln. And so both Washington and Lincoln are communicating with families as often as we can. But as I said, I feel there's always room for improvement on how we can communicate even better, even more efficiently, and respond even quicker to family and student needs. And we're going to continue to work on that and continue to improve that. So I think those are really the couple of things that we heard the most from the kids, really. Parents, we had a lot of compliments for our teachers and the work that they've done. Some of the same concerns about communication, which I said we're going to start looking at first thing this morning as a group. But overall, we knew there would be, and there certainly are, and we have the survey data, and we can talk about the survey a little bit, but mixed emotions about whether to come back, and then, of course, when to come back. So, again, the board had a lot of comments. They had a good discussion amongst themselves and ultimately settled on the motion that they made.
Well, I think it's great, especially that you had the students that came in and were a part of it, because, I mean, ultimately, they're the ones that this is all about. And for them to participate in the meeting and say, hey, this is some of the stuff that we would like to, you know, to have as well, I think that's great. And obviously, that's what it's all about, is making sure that the kids are getting the education that they need.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. You're spot on. And they were very articulate. I thought their thoughts were well reasoned, and clearly they prepared well to address the board. And certainly, you know, a couple hundred other people on the Zoom call. It was good to hear from them, and I think we gleaned some really good information from them. And it's always good to hear from the students.
Absolutely. So you mentioned, Tim, a little bit about, in addition to not going back until January 4th through the holiday, but that sports could continue. So for folks that aren't familiar with what are the guidelines with the MHSAA right now as far as any winter sports?
Well, right now the winter sports are allowed to begin on December 9th after the current order expires.
Okay.
Contests are not allowed currently, as of this minute, contests are not allowed to start until January 4th, actually. So we know that the MHSAA Rep Council, they're meeting, I believe, today to discuss things in terms of winter sports and whether or not they're going to proceed, and if so, how. The governor spoke yesterday. We didn't, from school administrators, we didn't really expect there to be any news or any updates about schools, mm-hmm. and there weren't. Excuse me, we're guessing, just looking into a very murky crystal ball, probably Sunday or Monday would be our best guess, but certainly I don't want to be, you know, held to that, because the governor certainly will do things on her time schedule. But that's what we're guessing. They're going to want to take a look, much like we did. You want to provide the people, you want to have the most up-to-date information that you can before you make a big decision. And so I'm assuming that that's the same thing that they're doing on a statewide level that we did here at the local level.
Tim, you know, I know you talked to your counterparts around the Upper Peninsula, around the state and everything. Are other school districts kind of in the same boat and maybe extending their pause in just going to the virtual aspect until after Christmas too?
Yes, and that's common around the state. And I know that in our area, Pickford, Brimley, JKL, the Sioux have all gone virtual until the 4th, as has Newberry. I believe both St. Ignace and Rudyard have their school board meetings on Monday to discuss what their plans are going to be going forward after the 8th or 9th there. So I think we're kind of in line with everybody so far that's made a decision. A couple of the smaller schools, St. Mary's, Lake Superior Academy, and I believe Maplewood Baptist are still open, but they've got very small populations in there and can spread them out better than we can at the other districts, I think. So, but right now it sounds like people around the region, we're all kind of on the same page, which is, let's take a look at this incrementally and let's make darn good and sure we get good responses or more encouraging news, I should say, from our health department and our hospital. And I've said it before, but I want to say it again while I have a chance here. You know, I called David John. He's very, very busy running a hospital and
sure.
with 900 employees, and he makes darn good and sure he gets back to me to give me the most up-to-date information so I can share it with the board. Same thing with anybody I call at the health department, primarily Karen Senkus, but we've gotten fantastic support from those two organizations to help us gather the information, to make sure that we're up to date as best we can, to make sure that we give our board the most current information that they need to make what are very difficult decisions. As we've said before, these are emotional decisions. There's a lot of community opinion on both sides of the fence, come back or don't come back. And then if we do bring them back, you know, when do they come back? Do we have sports? Do we not have sports? So our board and all the other boards are faced with these very difficult decisions. And as I said, as things kind of unfolded over here in the last few days and then last night, it sounds like our district is in line with most of the schools in our region.
Tim, you know, I've heard, you've been watching the news, you know, at night and whatever, and around the country, the same problem that the other, you know, states are having as well. And a lot of people are concerned, or at least raising concern about the long-term effect on students and their education because of everything that's happened since the middle of March and the, you know, missing school the end of last year and kind of the herky-jerky, you know, in school, out of school here in the fall and everything. What are your concerns, maybe short-term and long-term, with students as far as that's concerned?
Well, I think short-term, we've already, as I said, we've heard and we know of, because our staff have talked with families, short-term, very concerned about, you know, the mental health and well-being of our students and our staff, Mark. We have to include them as well. Mm-hmm. This is stressful for them, too. But from the students' standpoint, very concerned about their mental health and well-being. We continue to provide over 400 meals or meals for 400 kids every week. Some of those are now being delivered by bus, but we still have our pickup every week and delivering some. So we're trying to take care of that part of it. And as I said earlier, our counselors and intervention specialists and Native American advisors, along with our teachers, are doing their best to communicate with kids and make sure that we're not just doing the academic part of it, but doing those wraparound services in terms of, you know, providing for those other needs. And again, we know there are some areas we can improve on, and we're going to continue to work on those. Long-term, from the educational standpoint, you know, I think everybody agrees. Let me rephrase that. I think most people would agree that face-to-face learning is preferential and probably provides a little bit better educational experience than does remote or virtual learning. Not every student and not every family has the structure or the support network to be successful with remote learning, and we understand that. For some families, it works great. It's just the kids are seamless, they're thriving, they're doing fine. But we know that we had 200 of our students opt for virtual blue, our fully virtual program at the start of the school year, but still 1,700 of our students came to school. And so we know that the vast majority of our students want to be in school, and we want them here. So we are concerned about things in terms of their education and making sure that we are trying to fill the gaps as we see them. I don't know. We would certainly be able to assess long-term situations, you know, a quarter at a time, and with our NWEA MAP testing that we do. It really is looking ahead. You would think, you would make an assumption that there would be a little bit of summer slide, if you would, mm-hmm. That we experience every year. But, you know, until we see the data on that, we won't know for sure. But I would assume that there would be some impact. You know, we haven't talked about it much, but, you know, we can make a decision on lots of things at the local level. If we ultimately choose to add days to the end of the year, we could. And I don't want anybody out there to be clutching at their chest right now. Right. That is not a proposal. That's not a discussion. But, you know, if we feel strong enough as a district and our community feels that way, and if we have to figure out a way to add days, that is an option. It does, again, not anything that's being talked about, not anything that we're planning. So I don't want anybody to be concerned about that at this point. But we are concerned. It's a long answer to a very complex question, but we are concerned, and we're just hopeful again that that the numbers of cases and our hospital capacity, those things calm down a little bit and improve, so that we can get everybody back in here on the 4th.
Tim, you know, I have well, he's not a student anymore, but my son Tony, I have an autistic child and everything. I've had a stepdaughter who went through Sioux Schools who had autism and everything and graduated several years ago. So special education is important to me and our family. Obviously, there's some needs for those students that are above and beyond the regular educational, you know, needs of students. What's being done to assess and address those needs for the special education department?
Well, all the IEPs that are in place, and if there are IEPs necessary, we're still having them. IEP, individualized educational program. You as a special ed parent would know that.
Yes.
Not everybody's familiar with that term.
For sure.
So those are individual plans set up for each student with additional needs.
Mm-hmm.
So all those are being met. All the requirements of those IEPs are being met. But again, we're in a virtual world, and it is a remote world, and it is different than being in the classroom. So Is it the same? No, I would have to say it's not the same, but I will compliment Dr. McFarland, our special education director, and our special education staff, and also our special education paras, for doing the very best they can at providing support to those families. I know that we've got speech, for example, that's being done remotely. In fact, a parent commented on that last night, that she was very satisfied with the special education speech services they're receiving remotely. So that was just one anecdotal comment, but that is it's positive to hear that. So it is a concern, the same thing as it is, in the gen ed students. Certainly our special education students have different needs, additional needs, and we're doing our very best to accommodate those and provide for them as well.
Yeah, it's tough. So trying to think, what else as far as last night's meeting came out that was important, you thought?
Well, if I can just digress just for a second, I think it's important because we've had a couple of calls about, what metric are we using to make this decision? And I've recommended to the board that we do not actually select a particular metric to use. Positivity rate, we can use a 7-day positivity rate or a 14-day rolling rate. That's one metric that we can use. Hospital capacity certainly would be another one. But I've advocated for us using a variety of topics, and I'll just, kind of run down them real quick. Mm-hmm. We take a look at actual number of confirmed cases involving our students and staff. And as of now, we've got 32 this year. We have currently students and staff 33 quarantined, and we've had over 250 cumulatively quarantined throughout the course of the year. Mm-hmm. Another big issue that we have to consider is that in the best of times, we are short of substitute workers, and that can be classroom teachers, parapros, bus drivers, you name it. And so if we have the continuing community spread, and we get teachers who get sick and can't come to work, or parapros or secretaries or whomever, mm-hmm. if we don't have subs to put in those positions, we could get to a position where we couldn't run the district that day. So we're certainly keeping an eye on that, and that's why we're tracking all these quarantine cases and certainly the positive cases. We also check, obviously, the positivity rate. I talked with Karen Sankus, and I learned yesterday that the 14-day rolling average was 9.5%. I talked with David John about it, the same thing, and he gives me the most recent stat that he had, and their test that they ran through just the hospital the day before yesterday was a positivity rate of 10%. So then we take a look at, again, input from our health department. They're very concerned about community spread. They are still both the health department and the hospital. This is about the time that if there are going to be a surge, if you will, of cases after Thanksgiving, this is about the time those will start to show up. So they're very concerned about the number of cases that may show up after Thanksgiving. And again, we talk about, hospital capacity. David John reported 15 in the hospital, 2 in the ICU, and 1 on a ventilator. And they've already had to send several people out of there. And I think everybody in the community is pretty well aware. They've already had to convert their entire second floor to nothing but a COVID wing. So,
exactly, right.
So we take a look at all of those things. In addition, and last night we added in the survey. We surveyed staff and staff and families about, when should we come back and what dates might work. And we broke that out by grade levels. And as we expected, there's mixed sentiment across all of those measures in the community. So our board, as I said earlier, like every other board, is faced with some very, very difficult decisions. And the other thing that we do, we talk about students, and rightfully so, but we do have staff who are very concerned about coming back to work as well. They, too, have their health issues. They, too, have families who have health issues. So when from my office and to the board, students are certainly of paramount importance, but we also have 225 staff we have to consider as well when making these decisions. So we included staff in the survey and got some good numbers on that as well. And I think, as I said, credit to our board. They had a very good in-depth discussion, heard a lot of comments from the community and parents and students, and ultimately made the decision that they made.
Well, you mentioned the staff too, Tim, and that's one of the things that's, with vaccinations that are kind of pending. I heard that they're going to be doing that in phases, and one of the early phases they're saying is teachers and everything, because obviously they want to get immunized. Is that something you guys have been talking about as well?
We have not talked about that internally much at all, Mark. That is above my pay grade, and certainly down the road at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hopeful that when they're referring to teachers, they're referring to school employees.
Sure.
Because we've got secretaries, parapros, bus drivers, food servers, playground supervisors, all these other folks that work in districts that also have direct and close contact with our students. So it's my hope that when they are saying teachers, that they're actually including all school personnel.
Yeah, I think that's what they were saying. So,
yeah, I've only read teachers. I haven't seen and that just might be a shorthand way of saying it. But certainly, we want to make sure that we're appreciative, that we're certainly happy that we're higher up on the list than mm-hmm. some might be. I'm glad I didn't have to select that list, because I'm sure there was a lot of pressure on those folks that had to do that. But, and then the issue will be, I know you read articles and you hear people talk about the speed at which the vaccines were developed, and have they been thoroughly tested, and will they be safe, and will people actually take them? And mm-hmm. so there's a lot of uncertainty out there about the vaccines as well. And hopefully whatever they come up with works, and we can lessen this thing a little bit.
Well, I know that the first line is going to be the hospital staff, and they surveyed the staff. And I know my wife, who works at WAR, she says, yeah, she read some of the stuff, and she says, I'm going to take it. Okay. So she's going to be the guinea pig in the family. So.
Well, kudos to her. I've talked with some people who were excited about the possibility of mm-hmm. getting it.
Yep.
And I've talked with some other folks who have said, listen, I'm not comfortable with this
sure.
yet.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people say I'm comfortable with vaccines, but this one has gone too fast. And I think that like a lot of things will come down to that individual person and their individual decision, what makes best sense for them. And then certainly parents make the best decision for their children.
And I would assume at some point you'll do that similar survey with your staff at the school district and everything, and say, okay, we're number three on the list here. Who wants to take it, right?
Yeah, well, we would want to know numbers only. Certainly that'd be an anonymous survey, but we would want to be able to, so who's ever providing those, if mm-hmm. Whether it's the health department or the hospital, however that's going to work, we would want to make sure that we had an accurate number to give them. So that we got the amount that we needed, and we certainly wouldn't want to take some from someone else, take some, not use them from someone else who might need them. So we would provide whatever information the health department needed to help them prepare to take care of our staff.
So what's the next few weeks look like for, I mean, obviously the students are going to be going through school and everything, but as far as what you're going to be doing, as far as looking at the next phase, I guess, if not for lack of a better term, of getting back to school.
Well, I think the immediate thing that we're all waiting for, Mark, is to see what the state's going to announce, and hopefully they announce it sooner than later. But again, my very murky crystal ball says probably not till Sunday or Monday, because they're going to want to have the best information they have, the most current information they can get. So certainly we want to hear what is going to happen there. I think we're all of us in the state are interested to find out what's going to happen there. As I said, we're going to talk today about making sure that we're doing our best to communicate with our families and our students, and work to shore up any areas there. And then just monitor the data. And as I have said before, both David at the hospital and Karen at the health department are very, very supportive. We will have a board meeting the week of the 28th. The date hasn't been set yet, but as I mentioned when we started, that was a part of the motion that the board made and approved last night, is that we'll meet again the week of the 28th and review the data that we have at that time, much like we've done for the last two meetings. It'll probably be the same format, in fact, and then have more discussion and make the decision on whether or not kids are going to come back on the 4th. And I'm hopeful, I think we all are, that this thing kind of levels off a little bit and we start to get a little better handle on it. And at the end of the day, and I'm sure I'm a broken record at this point, but we want kids back in school. But we want kids and staff back in school when it's safe to be back. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to balance the educational needs, social-emotional needs with safety. again, that's where a lot of opinions diverge on, you know, what the priority should be there. So we'll just continue to do what we're doing and keep our finger on the pulse as best we can of the data and rely on our health officials to help us through.
Anything else you want to add there, Tim, before we let you go?
Well, I just, again, I like to a lot of parents have reached out over the past couple of weeks, either with concerns or actually with some compliments, saying, listen, I'm happy. My child would rather be in school, but the education my child is receiving is fine for now. And I think most of the folks understand that we are always focused on what's best for the kids. Now, that doesn't mean that there's always agreement on the process by which we're going to get to that point. But I guess that, you know, when it comes down to that, staff here, administration, board, our community, we all want what's best for kids. And we can have disagreements or matters of differences of opinion on when we should return to school or under what conditions or what grade levels or all those types of things. But at the end of the day, we're all very concerned about our kids. And again, I need to compliment our board. They've had some very rough decisions, as have the other school boards in the area and around the state. You know, they've done their research. They've asked me tons of questions. I've provided as much information as I can. They heard many, many comments last night, many, many comments at the previous meeting. And you know, they're working hard behind the scenes to make sure they're up to speed with all the information that they need to make an informed decision. And again, all those decisions won't be popular. They recognize that, and we recognize that. But at the end of the day, we're all doing what we think is best for kids, and it's a huge responsibility that falls on boards of education at this time. And, you know, I tell them all the time, you know, keep this up, and I'm going to double your pay because their pay is zero, so mm-hmm. I can make a generous offer like that and know that I don't have to write any checks on that. But our administration continues to put in ungodly hours. I know so many of our staff are doing the same thing. And again, our students and families are doing yeoman's work on all this. And I just want to encourage everybody, hang in there. We are trying. We are trying as a community. I hope we can get these kids back to school much sooner than later. And we'll just need to keep doing what we're doing, I think, in that effort to get them back.
Yeah, it's just a thank God 2020 is almost done. I guess it's the best thing to say, you know, 3 more weeks and we're out of this year. So
I read somewhere that someone thought 2020 could be the new curse word. So I kind of chuckled at that because that, you know, and I go back to thinking that none of this was all foreign to us. And when we got the announcement on March 12th at 11 o'clock at night that we were shutting down as of the 16th. And since then, to say it's been a roller coaster would be a drastic understatement. And, you know, I thank everybody for their patience. And I know sometimes that patience wears thin, but we are doing what we can and for our kids. And we'll continue to work to improve on doing what we can for our kids because, as I said, there's always room for improvement, and we certainly will continue to do that. And I encourage parents, if there are questions, reach out to those teachers, reach out to the principals, reach out to our Native American advisors, our counselors, our intervention specialists, and let them know if there's an issue and give us a chance to try to fix that. And, you know, we want to do that. We want to get those issues resolved because, again, we all want to do what is best for our kids.
Yeah, it's you know, it'd be nice to when this is all behind us. And who would have thought back in March that we'd be still talking about this in December, huh?
Yeah, I think that most of us would have lost that bet.
you know, this is going to be what, a month, you know, a couple of weeks, and then
yeah. And even I thought, well, if we get through the spring, and then initially they said, well, the summertime should knock it down a little bit with the heat and whatnot. And mm-hmm. so I really, when school ended last year, even though we were preparing for that possibility we might not come back, I really thought, okay, we'll get this figured out. We'll be back in school. And, of course, we were able to start and then took a big backward step on that. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's COVID fatigue is real. It's real for students and families and communities, teachers, principals, again, all of our staff. Everybody's tired of it. The important thing is that we all have to stay focused on the kids. Yep. And sometimes those days when we're all tired and cranky and frustrated, That's the day we really have to get at it and make sure that we're supporting these children, because that's our job. That's why we're here. That's why parents have children, so they can be parents and support them and love them. We just need to continue to do that as a community, wrap our arms around them and do the very best we can for them.
And I would think that, obviously this has brought, families together and they've become more close. There's been lots of studies about that. But I would think also, in your job, like as a teacher and everything, this, I think, might help. I mean, not that teachers are bad, but this might help make you an even better teacher because you've had to really do something that no other teachers really had to do before.
Yeah, I've had discussions with some of our staff on that, and they have found themselves kind of having to relearn how to do things, not just the mechanical, logistical part of the logging into this, creating this document, making sure I know how to share it with students, but the actual, distance learning, we heard this from one of our commenters last night, who has both taken classes remotely and taught remotely. It is not the same. It is absolutely not the same as being in the classroom and running a particular classroom for the entire day in the elementary setting or multiple hours at the secondary setting. And the teachers have had to, again, I'm very proud of the work they've done to sort of retool, if you will, since last March. And as I said multiple times, we knew we could do better than we did last spring. And I think we are. I think we're doing much better. And I'm very proud, again, of our teachers, parapros, and those supporting the kids and their families as well. There's always room for improvement, and we'll continue to do that. But the teachers have learned some new tricks of the trade. Students have had to kind of retool things as well. I still hear comments from parents. I don't ever want to be a teacher. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Because they've dealt with two, three, or four kids at the house for a day or multiple days now and mm-hmm. Different classes and hearing, bits and pieces of different discussions with their classes and seeing, all the activity on the computer. It's sometimes difficult to manage them in a classroom and certainly doing it remotely has been an interesting challenge in some cases. But again, I kudos to the teachers and the kids for putting in the work that they are. And we'll continue to improve that, and I think it'll be better both for the student and the teacher, as this continues. Although none of us want it to continue, we want everybody to get back here as soon as we can.
See, what's going
to
happen is everybody's going to become experts on this just as we're all done with it, right?
Yeah. And then hopefully, I think all of us are hoping that we'll never have to use it again.
Yeah, those are those skills you never want to use again, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's been quite a trying time for a lot of folks, and certainly the district plays a central role in the community and the outreach that we have with our students and our families, and we're very aware of some of the struggles and doing our best to support kids. And in closing, just want to encourage parents, contact someone at the school if there's a problem. I will say sometimes going to social media isn't the quickest way to get a response.
Mm-hmm.
People are busy and we don't always have staff just checking social media. So if there is a question, email a teacher, email a principal, call them. Someone will get back to you and provide the help, whether that's educational or some other area that is needed.
That's good advice for a lot of things. You can't always get a response on social media,
Yeah. It is something. I'm just old school enough to still like to call people, or even better, talk to them face to face. But I know that that Facebook and other social media serves a need and it can be helpful. But we want to make sure that there aren't any things lost in the shuffle or lost in the translation. Sometimes the written word can be interpreted a lot of different ways, and the receiver might interpret it different than the sender meant
sure.
it to be. So sometimes it's better just to make that call and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, or how do I do this, or I need help with this area, and let someone hear that concern, have a dialogue with that person, and then we can begin to rally the support and see what we can do to help out.
Well, Tim, I appreciate the update. I know the families out there listening appreciate it as well, and everything that everybody in the district is doing to ultimately, like I say, at the bottom line, educating the kids and making sure that they're doing a good job. So Kudos to everybody there. We'll look forward to getting an update from you here later in the month. And obviously, whenever you got something that you want to get on, for sure, let us know and we'll get it on there for you, okay?
I'll do that, Mark. Thanks again and appreciate the opportunity.
All right, Tim, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thank you, Mark.